CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Retaliation. Explosions in Kyiv as the mayor of the Ukrainian city says it's under attack by Russian drones. ABC's Martha Raddatz is in Kyiv.
A ferocious Russian assault following Ukraine's coordinated drone strikes deep inside Russia. Russia now blasting residential high-rises in Ukraine's second-largest city of Kharkiv. The barrage leaving more than 40 people dead or wounded across Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin had warned there would be a response to Ukraine's drone attack that targeted Russian military airplanes at a host of air bases. They were bros for months, but now President Trump and Elon Musk are in an escalating war of words. Musk rallying against the president's budget bill, saying it'll balloon the deficit by billions. And he's now threatening on X to decommission SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft immediately, leaving the U.S. no way to get to space other than in a Russian spacecraft. This is ABC News. The federal judge overseeing the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York issuing a warning today, saying the music mogul was gesturing to members of the jury. ABC News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer outside the courthouse.
What the judge was saying was that Sean Combs was nodding vigorously, looking at the jury, even during the sidebar, directing his expressions towards the jury. The judge was having none of it and said if it happens again, he will gladly welcome an objection from the government, give what's called a curative instruction, meaning an instruction to explain to the jury how they're supposed to appropriately react to those movements from the defense or even from Combs himself, or possibly throw Combs out of his own trial.
Officials in Baltimore say a ruptured pipeline spilled at least 2,000 gallons of oil into the Baltimore harbor. Responders have deployed pollution response equipment and are working to remove all recoverable oil from the waterway. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Wild, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Aaron Rodgers to join the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Aaron Rodgers has decided to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN reporting Rodgers will report to Pittsburgh when the Steelers hold their mandatory veteran minicamp next week. Rodgers says he's been in contact with head coach Mike Tomlin, offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
In golf, the AmFam Championship underway at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison, raising millions for charity.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Strickler with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actress Mia Sara is back after a 14-year hiatus. You might know her as Sloane Peterson from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yahoo Entertainment reports she was back on the red carpet at the premiere of The Life of Chuck, a sci-fi fantasy based on a Stephen King novel. Sara was last seen on the big screen in 2011 in Dorothy and the Witches of Oz. Sara says she is not officially out of retirement, but will always work if director Mike Flanagan asks her. I feel the same way. Here is some cool news on the heels of a really good documentary about Sly and the Family Stone. The Hulu documentary Sly Lives was insightful and a really fun watch. Now, 60 years after a concert recording, a new album will be released. According to Variety, the first family, live at Winchester Cathedral, 1967, will be released this summer. The band's manager put the recordings in a vault shortly after the show decades ago. They were discovered in 2002. The new old material will be released July 18th on High Moon Records. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers and storms tonight, and a low close to 50. For tomorrow, a high in the low 70s, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and storms. A mix of sun and clouds for the weekend, more storms possible. Highs both days within a few degrees of 70. It's 71 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, actor Mark Unger, and it's a Bar Band Friday night with Rocker filling in for his Maxine co-host, Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadigi Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and Native news and events. And as you know, he knew Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right, Jaji. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at cause-cart.shop.com. And search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Kinigigi for everyone, for all your support.
Yeah, and we're coming up on the state fair and all those things, Jaleesa, and we're getting all ready to do it and getting our candles fired up and get everything going here for Dayton's and the state fair. And you guys can buy things now if you jump on that website. Ho-wah. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren on, and Robert, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And it's always a pleasure to have you on. And I got to see you earlier today, Robert. Welcome.
Yeah, bonjour, Jaleesa. Bonjour, Robert. It's great to be here. It was great to see you in person at the Four Sisters Farmers Market, for sure.
Lots of people, lots of things happening. The vendors, a great vibe. I look forward to it every Wednesday.
Yeah, and I know you're a regular attendee, and it's always so good to see you there. And this was the first Four Sisters Farmers Market of the season. I invite everyone to stop on down to the market. It's at on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, East Franklin Avenue at 15th, right in our parking lot. And I got to tell you, I agree with you. The vibe was so good. You know, this was the first of the season, but it didn't feel that way at all. It just felt really established. The crowd was really impressive. And the vendor selection, it was, and the variety was really powerful. So I credit our Four Sisters Farmers Market Manager, Destiny Jones, and her assistant, Mamegwa, who just really, and the whole staff, really dedicated to making it an event. It's kind of like the place to see and be seen on the American Indian Cultural Corridor every Thursday.
It sure is, and I'd be remiss not to mention that Destiny is Ho-Chunk, Ho-Wa, a citizen.
I should have said that myself. My apologies.
No. You know, I always try to sneak that in there. Hey, exciting. I'd like to talk a little bit about, what you used to do here in the city of Minneapolis as a city council member, and talk a little bit about sanctuary states and kind of what happened a few days ago here.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so I was the first Native person elected to the Minneapolis City Council back in 2001. And so maybe jump forward to what happened here this week, which was just shocking and disturbing. And there was a in Minneapolis. There's Franklin Avenue, East Franklin, which is the segment of that is the American Indian Culture Corridor. And then just about 10 blocks south of that is another major east-west artery that connects the lakes, Bede-Mikaska to the Mississippi River. And there was a major police action, very militaristic law enforcement action led by federal agents, ICE, people with ICE insignias and other federal agents, armored cars, tactical gear, masks, so you couldn't see their faces. I mean, in my opinion, it was a total effort to intimidate the community. This is the heart of the immigrant community, predominantly Latino and East African folks who are already a little on edge. And we're still kind of figuring out what actually happened. Allegedly, it was a law enforcement action related to national drug and human trafficking rings, but it just felt weird. And the community responded quickly. Demonstrators showed up. There was a lot of confrontation between community and the police. And then the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office was involved, which the optics of that are terrible. And then the Minneapolis police were involved to do crowd control. And but the optics, again, they're right there then, right? And the officers, the police chief is walking down East Lake Street towards the action, and it was just bad all around.
And the reason why I brought up your past being a city council member is that, you know, I feel like, and this is just my opinion, I don't have anything to base this on, but, you know, Kristi Noem, who's the head of ICE, is going after sanctuary states or cities, I should say.
Right, cities and states, right? Yeah. So while I was on the Minneapolis City Council, I was on from 2001 to 2014, and that's when we passed our first sanctuary city ordinance. We didn't call it that. It was much more focused as an employer, right, of the police and others who might be called on to support federal immigration actions. And it was a typical unfunded mandate. We were supposed to do this work, but there weren't any resources following the mandate. And it just really did not jibe with our values here. So I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. I'm sure I was an author on it. It was something like our workforce directive toward federal immigration enforcement or something like that. And George W. Bush was president. Tim Pawlenty, another Republican, was our governor.
Oh, boo again.
Right. And they were hostile to cities because they were viewed as bastions of Democratic voters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were turning off the tap of resources and support. These unfunded mandates were just flying at us. And I just made this point at a Met Council meeting just last night. Was it last night or Monday at a committee meeting, that the 12 years I was on the Minneapolis City Council, every one of those years was a budget cutting year because the state and the federal government were so hostile to cities. And so the federal government tried to pass this mandate that our local law enforcement was supposed to help with federal immigration enforcement. We just said no and passed this ordinance. And again, the buzzword back then was sanctuary city, and it had a real negative vibe. So we didn't call it a sanctuary city. Now, city ordinance, now they use that term all the time. But it was a strong statement by the city of Minneapolis that we're not playing this game.
Wow. You mentioned all these groups, and I was writing these down. We talked a little bit about yesterday, but what the heck is the Coast Guard doing there? Is this a test of really shaking people down? And our neighbors, Rose, somebody saw it on, Read It, and they came down there and tried to protect those people. It was crazy because I had two laptops opening and I was watching a bunch of live feeds, and it was insane.
It was totally insane. And I was in the office, I'm in the conference room doing some work, and a lot of the NACTI staff is watching the feeds, and I mean, you could just hear the sound of the crowds, the response from our NACTI staff. It was almost like they were watching a prize fight or something, you know. And yeah, they're like, "Oh, punches are, you know, fists are flying," and right. And so the community stepped up to intervene.
Yes.
And to your point of who was there and what it was really about, if you're serving search warrants, legitimate, authentic search warrants related to drug or human trafficking, you don't need armored cars. You don't need federal authorities in tactical gear, right? I mean, this is serving search warrants is a fairly routine activity in law enforcement. This was 100% intimidation. Our county attorney here in Hennepin County has called it terrorism, and I don't think she's wrong. So it's all about intimidating the local community.
Well, I'm here with Robert Lilligren and Jaleesa McKee, and I'm Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. Hey, Jaleesa, we're going to be right back, and we usually say stay with us. So, hey, we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Right.
Stay with us?
Stay with us.
Right on.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, and this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Thank you there, Hinu, and Jaleesa's sitting in here, and just really great to have you on, Jaleesa. And Jaleesa, before we get it with Robert, you're an actor, and you're chip off the old block. I was a high school teacher, so I had to act all the time. Oh, wow.
Yes, I've been doing that more in the film, short film realm lately, and then, you know, as you know, I've done plays as well. Shout out to New Native Theater.
Absolutely. And thanks for being on. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and Robert, before I always have to honor Wendy, and Wendy always says, ask Robert what he wants to talk about. But at first, before I do that, I want to just bring up, because we always have fun because we talk national, local, Native politics, which is human. Everything involves us and then some. But Elon Musk is going crazy on his platform, and help us with this.
Well, I don't know if I can help you, and I wouldn't necessarily describe it as going crazy. I think that's pretty much already there, right? Yes. But there's this huge rift now between Musk and Trump. So predictable, right? Everyone that's in Trump's inner circle ends up being ostracized at some point. But Musk has just gone full scorched earth, right? He's criticizing the big, beautiful bill. He's, he's saying that Trump should be impeached, which is extreme. You know, Trump's retaliating, saying we should cancel all of Musk's company's contracts with the federal government. You know, and that'd so it's major rip. And although this is a horrible time for any of us who care about democracy in this country, there's a little bit of satisfaction watching this total meltdown on both sides.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's enough nationally that we need to talk about. So locally, you're talking about the Met Council, but also I know there's more things happening with Native American Community Development Institute, too.
There is a lot going on. And so this is kind of the height of our programming season. And so for folks who aren't that familiar with NACD or Native American Community Development Institute, we're technically an asset-based community development organization working in the local Native community, but we're engaged in statewide and regional and national efforts as well. And we're fundamentally change agents, right? And so very engaged in the established system with the efforts to make it more reflective of Native voices, more serving of Native people and communities. And we cluster our work in three areas: arts and culture, food sovereignty, and civic engagement or democratic engagement. And in each of those, right now we're kind of at our peak programming. So it's a busy time for our organization. And then another thing that we're doing, and I would love to talk a little bit about this, is we're very collaborative, right? We're parts of lots of collaborative partnerships and cohorts and things. And as I always like to say, partnerships are hard, and they take effort, and they take deliberate action, and they take good intent, right? And so one of the collaborations that we're part of right now that's in kind of full swing is called the Good Relatives Collaborative. Good Relatives Collaborative. Great website. I invite anyone to Google it and look at it. And it's a partnership between organizations in three organizations, one in North Dakota, one in South Dakota, one in Minnesota. And NACD is the Minnesota partner. And then the funding partner is the Bush Foundation, one of our largest and most prominent philanthropic presences here in the state. And I think their mission is something like they power good ideas and the people who move them or something. And it's in the Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and the Native nations within those boundaries. So this is really a cool collaborative, the Good Relatives Collaborative. It's founded an enlightened approach from Bush that Native people should be the ones granting funds to Native people. Yes. So a very visionary leader within their organization, Eileen Briggs, has been spearheading these kinds of efforts. And so this Good Relatives Collaborative is charged with kind of filling the gaps where philanthropy hasn't been reaching Native people, and really geographically filling those gaps. They grant, I should know the amount. I think it's somewhere between 2 to 3 million to organizations and individuals. There's a grant period that is open right now. I'm wondering, I think that just closed. But then they also administer what's called the Bush Native Prize, which is a considerable transformational grant program to Native organizations. And so it's trying to make the philanthropic system a little more reflective of Native presence. And over my time working in the nonprofit world, which is like maybe the last 10 years, data has really surfaced that show how meager philanthropy's giving to Native people and Native orgs has been historically. I mean, it's something like 0.01% or something like that. Doesn't even reflect the numbers of the population. And, you know, smart or enlightened foundations are trying to do better.
Yeah.
And I really feel fortunate and privileged that NACTI, our org, is right in kind of the sweet spot of that conversation between the nonprofit world and the philanthropic world about how to do better.
Right. I believe that grant ends June 16th, so there's still time. I know I've been working with some people, and it's exciting because I think one of the key things you said, Robert, and you've been around a while, is that natives are selecting natives as opposed to outside people that don't know our community.
Yeah, that is exactly right. I think that's the Native Bush Prize that's open until the 16th, right? Or is the whole... Yeah. I'd encourage people to look at it, and you're exactly right. And it's a learning experience, right? This is kind of new territory. And one of the things that we are learning, we're in the fifth or sixth month of a 3-year commitment to participate in the Good Relatives Collaborative. And we do a lot. All of the partners within the collaborative do a lot of coaching of applicants and potential applicants, because not everybody in the community speaks sort of the philanthropic language or the language
or grant of language.
Grant making, right. One of our brilliant Vice President of Development in ACTI, John Williams,
yes,
the observation that in the way natives tell stories, it's counter to what philanthropy is looking for when you're describing your idea or your project. And so he's done a lot of coaching, as have others, to sort of reorganize the story and better support these applications. But I'm an arm's length removed. John Williams in our office, Alex Buffalohead in our office are really the ones at the table. But it's just NACTI's presence there has been really positive. We weren't the first Minnesota partner. We got recruited after, I think, the first year or so. And it's just, it's so cool to see, because we're the city partner, right?
And
we have connections out into the more rural areas. The other two are much more rural based, South Dakota and the North Dakota one. And so it's just a nice balance, and everyone brings their gifts. Everyone brings good spirit, good heart. Everyone's trying to be a good relative, right?
And I think one of the things that's really positive in my experience with grants is that there's so much help, you know, with John and Alex and the other people that are, that's what they're there to make you successful. And that hasn't always been my experience with grants over the years.
Right. I think that's a really great observation, Robert. And, you know, and here especially, well, not here especially, everywhere in Indian country, but here, because I've, you know, been kind of part of it, is we have been very deliberate about stepping away from the settler colonizer framework that encourages Native orgs to view each other as competitors, right?
Right.
We're competing for funds, we're competing for service populations. And instead, we really tried to embrace a more indigenized way of working together collaboratively to bring the maximum amount of resources to support our relatives in the community. And it's not just here, it's happening all over, but I can see the success here in doing that. It has not been easy.
Right.
You know, I'm really proud of the community here for moving in this way. And I feel like that experience, or that kind of almost like recalibration of our approach, is something that we bring into the Good Relatives Collaborative.
That's exciting. And I just got to give you a shout out, Robert. You know, thank you so much for spreading that news to our community. It's so important, and working together. I can see it with my own two eyes. I'm around a lot and I see the communities working together, and it always hasn't been that way. And I believe you're one of the people that have really made that an issue and a really a win-win situation for our nonprofits and our other Native community members.
You're very kind, Miigwech. You give me way too much credit.
Oh no. Thank you so much, Robert, for being on, and we'll see you next week, and I'll definitely see you at the Four Sisters Farmers Market next week.
Right.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Retaliation. Explosions in Kyiv as the mayor of the Ukrainian city says it's under attack by Russian drones. ABC's Martha Raddatz is in Kyiv.
A ferocious Russian assault following Ukraine's coordinated drone strikes deep inside Russia. Russia now blasting residential high-rises in Ukraine's second-largest city of Kharkiv. The barrage leaving more than 40 people dead or wounded across Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin had warned there would be a response to Ukraine's drone attack that targeted Russian military airplanes at a host of air bases. They were bros for months, but now President Trump and Elon Musk are in an escalating war of words. Musk rallying against the president's budget bill, saying it'll balloon the deficit by billions. And he's now threatening on X to decommission SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft immediately, leaving the U.S. no way to get to space other than in a Russian spacecraft. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Aaron Rodgers to join the Steelers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Aaron Rodgers has decided to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN reporting Rodgers will report to Pittsburgh when the Steelers hold their mandatory veteran minicamp next week. Rodgers says he's been in contact with head coach Mike Tomlin, offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
In golf, the AmFam Championship underway at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison, raising millions for charity.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Strickler with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Comedian Sinbad will appear in Tyler Perry's upcoming film, Straw. This may not sound like major news, but it is when you factor in that the comedian suffered a debilitating stroke 5 years ago and was hospitalized for months. The former star of his own show called The Sinbad Show said he is thrilled for the opportunity to be back in front of the camera and said the road back has been difficult. According to the New York Post, the film also stars Sherry Shepherd and Taraji Henson. Director Perry says, "I know it's been really difficult for him, so giving him this opportunity made me feel amazing." The daughter of Tim McGraw and Faith Hill chose Pride Month to come out as queer. 28-year-old Gracie, the oldest of the couple's three daughters and a working actress, shared the news in an Instagram post on June 2nd. This is the first time the country music power duo's daughter has opened up about her sexuality. McGraw and Hill have yet to comment on the post, but in the past, Hill has expressed public support for the LGBTQ+ community. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers and storms tonight, and a low close to 50. For tomorrow, a high in the low 70s, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and storms. A mix of sun and clouds for the weekend, more storms possible. Highs both days within a few degrees of 70. It's 69 degrees right now.
Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reedus here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, "You're going the wrong way." And Candy and Steve Martin go, "Ha, ha, ha, how do they know where we're headed?" Congress and the administration are saying, "This is what we're going to do for our budget." But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers and the NFL, will be with us to talk sports, and Peter Rapine of EPOM's World with a humorous week in review.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis. Shout out to Robert, who was just on the show.
Right on. Hey, we have our friend Kami Western on, who is Program and Project Coordinator. And Kami, you're going to have to help me here. I'm going to say Owamini-Omini-Okoja-Yapi. Please say I was close.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Welcome back on. I don't speak Ho-Chunk very well either, but thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Hey, you know, we got some things coming up here with you as Program and Project Coordinator. I know there's a big happenings coming soon here this month.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Summer is coming up pretty soon. This spring season has been filled with our public tours that we're having once a month. It's the first Saturday of every month with Barry Hand. So we do have a link on our website if anyone wants to join those. And they're pretty educational. They're pretty fun. He makes it fun to listen and to listen to him. And yeah, they're pretty good. Other events we're having right now, we are in the middle of the One Mississippi Mississippi River Days. So that's from June 1st to June 15th. And it's just us, Owamni Yomni, Okoda-Yapi, partnering with like 75 other orgs along the Mississippi River and kind of seeing what we can do to help all the issues along the river.
Then there are a lot. Talk to our audience that may be listening for the first time a little bit about the organization and how it came about. And it's really a great story.
Yeah. So we used to be called Friends of the Falls, and it was really a group effort of a lot of individuals kind of helping rename the area to Owamni Yomni. Our org is called Owamni Yomni Okoda-Yapi, which basically means Friends of the Falls. And it's the St. Anthony Falls right there in downtown Minneapolis. And our work is partnering with a lot of people in the cities, including the Park Board, the City of Minneapolis, and other orgs to help bring back Dakota presence to the area, helping Dakota people feel at home, and just really helping others understand the significance of the area, the importance of the site and all the sacred sites for the people there.
Yeah, a lot of them, it's been kind of messed up over the years, but you guys are taking control of that area down there, which is awesome. And it's a spiritual area for the Dakotas. And it's great that I guess the city's kind of given it to you, right?
Yeah. So before all the industrialism and the colonization and all the I like to call like the concrete jungle area, before all that came around, the flour mills and all that, it was a place of significance, really sacred to us. And it was a place where like women would go to give birth or to offer prayers whenever they're pregnant and all that. So that area is still there, very destroyed, very much destroyed. It's not a very pretty place to look at right now. So our efforts are to turn it back into a place where people can go. So a long time ago, it was called Witawanahi, which is the Spirit Island. And it's just right there. You can still see parts of it, remnants of it. It was destroyed whenever they built all the mills and all that. So,
right. And they dammed it up, and what they've done with the dredging and all those things over the years. So how can people find out more about the organization and where it is exactly? And then also with the tours, where can they go to get that info?
Yeah, they can follow us on social media or go straight to our website, which is owamniyomni.org. And the tours are set up, like I said, once a month. Those are for public tours for anybody that wants to sign up for those. There are a lot of like passerbyers that end up just kind of joining the tours whenever Barry's out there. So that's always good, too, if you just happen to be out there one of those Saturdays. then yeah, you can join there. If you do need like a private tour for your group or a team that you work with, you can always reach out to any of us and we can set that up with you.
I love history and I love Minnesota history. What's one of the most surprising things about that area that you came across that kind of surprised you?
Probably just that story of the Witawanagi, the Spirit Island, because it wasn't just for women, but we have there's tons of stories, but one of the things I heard was that the Unchechi, which is like the I don't know how to translate that, it's like the monsters, the Unchechi, yeah. Around there, that's where they came when they were in mating season. To those waters too. So it's kind of for our two-legged, which is us, and then those Unchechi would go there to mate. So it's kind of a significant area all around.
Right. Hey, you know, we have an upcoming event called Indian Victory Day that's going to be June 25th. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so to be more specific, it's the Victory Day for the Battle of Little Bighorn that happened in 1876.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's when, you know, General Custer, George Custer, and his 7th Cavalry went down at the hands of Lakota, Cheyenne, and Arapaho. And so we wanted to commemorate that and the triumph of our relatives and kind of bring that over here. We have a lot of Lakota relatives in the cities also in the area. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're all part of the Ocheti Shakoi, the Dakota, Lakota, and Nakota nations. So we wanted to bring that over. That'll be on June 25th around 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's going to be singers, a drum group, different speakers from Owamni, Omni, Okoreapi, along with the community, and Trickster Tacos will also be there.
Oh, I love Trickster Tacos. Matter of fact, the person that owns Trickster Tacos, there we go, is a former student of mine. So that's, I always love seeing this couple running around with their truck, and they're really blowing up the last few years. So that's really cool. One of the things too about people called it Custer's Last Stand, but is that's the only time that the United States has lost a battle like that. And the believe Lakota, Dakota still have the flag that they got.
So a lot of times the story I heard anyway, I know everyone has different teachings, but the story I heard was that the flag was captured after the battle was won. So that's why we raised the United States flag, because it's ours. We're the only nations to ever defeat the United States government and the military. So,
yes. Wait, I got to push the applause button here. So, Jaleesa, you're listening in. Is there anything I missed? This sounds pretty exciting. A lot of things happening down by the Mississippi River. And, you know, we travel up and down the Mississippi River with our pontoon.
We sure do. Singing karaoke.
Yes.
No, it's wonderful to hear everything. And just, I'm honored to hear all this and be reminded of the sacredness of those areas. So thank you.
Yeah. And so what else is going on? I know that's really important. That's coming up, and every Saturday, I just think that this is a form of land back. And I think we talked a little bit about this last time when you were on, and it comes in different forms and different meanings, but this is literally land back.
It is. And just being able to have that presence again. I think Dakota people were really pushed out whenever Westerners came and took over and built the cities and all the mills, then just created Minneapolis and St. Paul in general. You know, Minnesota really has a, I don't want to say problem, but has an issue with really pushing down Dakota people. And so this is a form of land back, of bringing our visibility back. And we're not invisible people. We're still here. One day I'd like to see, you know, Dakota language all over the place in our site. And we kind of have that right now with our signs, our interpretive signs. I talked about that last time where you can go and you can scan the QR codes on those signs and you can hear Dakota language telling the history and the story of the site. And so we're going to be putting up new signs here pretty soon on the west side of the river. Oh, no, that's the east side. Sorry. On the Father Hennepin Park side of the bridge, of Stone Ridge Bridge, because of the construction that they're doing right now that's on our site. So,
yeah. Talk about that again for people that are just tuning in. That's really, really exciting that you can pretty much scan something and you'll be able to hear the history. Could you talk a little bit
about that? Yeah, we have a lot of Dakota speakers that we partnered with, and they tell the history of the area and what's forthcoming and what's going to be there pretty soon. So in the next few years, as our work progresses, those signs, they have the written language on there and the story that you can read, and also whenever you scan it.
Exactly. Do you know, and this is an issue too, I believe, Bedote means what, two waters merging? Or mm-hmm. And there's Bedote Island out there that was very sacred too. I hope someday that Lakota Dakotas can reclaim that and at least let people know the history of that. And I believe what's really part of Land Back with you guys is that you're giving the history that hasn't been taught. And we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know the history at all of Dakota people there. A lot of people, you know, we see a lot of natives around the cities. But I think for non-native people, they see a native and they just think, you know, all natives are one people, one language.
Right.
And they don't realize that there's a mix of Native American, indigenous people, and we all have our own languages, our own cultures, our own history, our own beliefs. For example, you know, Ojibwe people have their own story to the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's significant to them. And just like Dakota people, we have our own story there too. So.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, give more information here. So we're going to break to a commercial, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about this. Really, it's really eye-opening and a great work that your organization's doing. So could you give the website and the information?
Oh, yeah, I was like, yeah. Oh, I was waiting for something. Yeah, so it's owamineyomine.org, and we are Owamineyomine Okodayapi on Facebook. So you can find all your information there. We try to keep up with our social media posts so you can see like what's happening, when the tours are, and like just little educational pieces that we like to put out there. So, but our website's a great place if you need more information or need to contact.
Right on. Hey, thanks for coming on, Kami Weston, and looking forward to seeing you again. This has been Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Pinagigi, stay with us.
Oh, your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion's brought to you by Howling for Wolves. We are Howling for Wolves right now. Ho! Yeah. Hey, we wanted to keep you on here just to real quick and make sure that we got all the information that you wanted to get out today. So welcome back. So is there everything you'd like to talk about?
I think so. I think we touched base on a lot of it. You know, just to recap, we have our Chacha Wakba, which is our word for the Mississippi River, where communities and all the other orgs come together. And so June 2nd was actually the first ever National Mississippi River Day. Wow. It just recognizes the river as a vital unifying force and brainstorming and looking for ways to sustain the economy, the ecosystems, and the way of life along the river. Like I said, we're just one of 75 orgs that participate in it, and it goes through the River Days of Action, actually goes until the 15th. So there's that. If you want more info on that, you can always go to the MississippiRiver.org /River Days of Action for other events. And we're not hosting an event this year, but hopefully next year it'll be a good time for us.
You know what's interesting, and I don't know if you know this, Jaleesa, either, but I just found this out. So in the 20s, there were only, I believe it was 1932, they counted only three fish that were alive from St. Paul and Minneapolis on the Mississippi River. And that is directly has to do with what was being pumped into the river. And I never knew that. I just knew it was a bad, bad place to swim when I was young. And again, that was, you know, when I was young was 50 years ago. So it's cleaned up a lot. And I think that's one thing that I really appreciate, that, you know, I can put my foot in the river and I can see my foot, you know, in the lake shore or in the shoreline. And I couldn't do that when I was younger. So good things are happening, and water is life.
Yeah. Water is life. And it's really eye-opening to see the progression of, you know, back then to now. And, you know, we're still working, we're still putting in the effort to make it even better for future generations.
Yes, and that's so important. And I think closing the lock and dam was a good start, because invasive fish can't get up any further. And so there's all these things. I wanted to say a big thank you so much for being on. It really means a lot. And Barry's an old friend of mine, and it's great to hear good things that he's doing again, and great things that you're doing. So and the organization, again, one more time, how people can check you guys out online. And
yeah, thank you so much. You know, we love Barry. I love learning from him. He has a lot of history in his brain, so I'm soaking it all up and get to share it with others. So but yeah, you can visit our website at owamniyomini.org or owamniyomini.org/owamniyomini okoreyapi on Facebook and other social media pages.
Yeah, a big pinigi. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you, Pilamaya, for having me.
Right on. Hey, wow, that was awesome. Jaleesa, I just wanted to talk to you real quick too before we end the show. And it's fun. When we started, I always talk about when Wendy gets on the show that she's a founder of the show, you know, and so are you, of Native Roots Radio 9 years ago.
Well, you've always been our fearless and admirable leader, Josh. But yeah, you're right. We all were together in the very beginning.
Yeah, and it was because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation that was going out there. I remember our first show, we had no commercials, so we were on the whole hour, and you were doing live reads. Do you remember that?
I sure do. I remember having
a little trauma.
Yeah, it was great, but it was just such a funny, we were figuring things out, right? So like, I just remember almost like whispering and wording things to each other and, a little bit of stress, but in a good way. I think we had so much fun.
Well, and I really believe like you should be proud of where the show has been, and it's great to have you on because you're a big part of the beginning of this.
Oh, thanks, Judge. Yeah, and it's so fun to just be back on here and just the growth that has happened and all the amazing guests you have on here. I mean, I think like some of the best leaders are those that bring on the experts in different elements and different ways, right? So, and that's what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know me, I'm not an expert on anything. So it's great. We've learned so much. We've learned so much over the years. And from Wendy, and you just hear Robert Lilligren today, and then the former Friends of the Mississippi and what's happening there and how that's indigenized. That's just an example of what comes across our microphone and our guest list. We are blessed with all these great guests.
Yes, absolutely. It's so great to see and hear. And when I tell people about the show, it's just so easy to put out there, because it's like, hey, there's politicians to advocates to artists to you name it. And it really creates this space, this Native centric space that we all, I think more and more people are becoming aware of it, even not, Indigenous or Native people. And they really want to know what's going on, and they really want to know how to support and how to, and it's just great to have a space for our people.
Yeah. And again, I learned so much, whether it's about the wolves or whether it's about, what's happening on the Native corridor here in the Twin Cities, so.
Right.
I'm truly blessed. And again, I can't, that was you, me, Uncle Curtis and Wendy that started this whole mess.
Yes. And you're right. I love that you bring up that Standing Rock was a big motivator to get this rolling. I know you had a dream about doing this, was it in your childhood? Did you say, Josh? You've always wanted to do radio, and it's so cool how Creator will put it in your path. It's like, you don't necessarily know how or when you dream a dream, but then, this was purposeful.
Yeah, and it's a unique show that it's on 5 days a week, and it there isn't anything like that across the whole nation, all across Turtle Island, and we're blessed. I've been in Washington, D.C. with my other job and run into people that know me because of the radio show, and at first it's like, well, how many people are listening to this? And I remember when we left and the producer said, well, 20,000 people just heard that and went, oh, God.
Wow.
Like, I remember that.
So amazing. So incredible. It's humbling, too.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Right? And, right? Yeah,
and I know you run into people, too, that know me and or have heard of the show, I should say. It's like, oh, wow. Putting two and two together with our small community.
I say this in a humbling way, but I get to brag that, you're my dad, you're my Jaji. So, our Native community is small. And then, if I even mention, my dad has a radio show, it's Native centric. It's, doing this, sometimes that's all I have to say. And they say, what? It's just really cool to see that. And then of course, we have our Native Roots Trading Post that just was,
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us, plus our regular Week in Review panelists, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalist Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Summer, summer, summer.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Crows no more. A public feud between President Trump and Elon Musk. The president now blasting Musk for criticizing his massive spending bill. President Trump saying, quote, Elon was wearing thin, and quote, I asked him to leave. Musk with a post after post online claiming, quote, without me, Trump would have lost the election, in his words, and calling for him to be impeached. Kyiv's mayor says the city is under attack by Russian drones and that three people have been injured. ABC's Martha Raddatz in Kyiv says it's
a response to that stunning Ukrainian drone operation. Drones lifting out of containers atop trucks and flying to their targets, destroying at least 10 Russian warplanes, including nuclear-capable bombers worth billions.
The man accused of throwing Molotov cocktails into a crowd of demonstrators in Boulder last weekend has been formally charged with attempted murder, assault, cruelty to animals, and explosives crimes in a Colorado court. This is ABC News.